Unwatchable, episode 102, where we talk about freaks and geeks. Today we're going to be discussing episode 5, Tests and Breasts, and 6, I'm with the Band. I'm Brittany, and today I'm joined by Danielle and Kristen. Say hi!
Hello!
We have a little bit of a smaller group today, but that's all right. I like having newbies.
Blame the holiday weekend. Everybody's crazy busy.
First of all, the holiday weekend has already pushed this back more than it needs to be. So we're working. We're powering through.
And you know what? We have like a ghostwriter in the doc anyway, because Ariana set it up for us, even though she's not here. And so she has lots of feelings. So it'll be like we have a fourth person.
And this is great because I love reading Ariana's stuff when she's not on, because I think it makes it much more enjoyable because I have no idea what's happening.
I'm slightly jealous that you get to read it, but it's going to be so much fun.
So as always, you can reach us by email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Talk to us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can find this post at hypeable.com and leave us some comments. Or you can go to our Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. which is filled with the episodes, and I did a really poor job this week of doing anything else, but I did write my thoughts about Kim Kelly is my friend.
Yes, I was just going to bring that up because it is wonderful. I was actually super bummed that you weren't on the last one because you have been talking about that episode for what seems like forever. And I was interested to hear what you were going to say. So I read that yesterday and I liked it a lot.
Yeah. So if you want some backstory on what was going on behind the scenes of Kim Kelly as my friend, as well as my own personal thoughts on it, because I was traveling last weekend and couldn't be on the episode, you can check it out at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And I tweeted it. So if you don't have a Tumblr or you don't know how to use Tumblr like Ariana, you can just go to the Twitter feed and find it. All right. So we're going to start off today by talking about episode 5, Tests and Breasts. And the synopsis for this episode is, in this episode, James Franco is an asshat who cons Lindsay into doing his work for him like she's fucking Hermione Granger, desperate for love and friends. Also, Sweets and his friends watch a porno. After school special lesson learned, pretty boys cheat and lie, but really, lazy people are the worst. Good job, Ariana.
As always.
So, yeah, Lindsay is kind of the Hermione Granger of this situation. But James Franco, I wouldn't really compare him to either Harry or Ron, just because James Franco is much, much worse.
Yeah.
Although, I guess I would say, actually, he's a little bit of a Harry. He's playing the, you know, I was given track 3 and instead of the I'm the boy who lived card. So...
It's not the I'm a celebrity and I don't want to be boo-hoo. It's the somebody called me dumb and now I can't not call myself dumb thing. Yeah.
But I am the chosen one.
And then she proceeds to smack him over the head with a book.
So, yes.
At least in the movie.
It should have happened here.
I thought it was going to at one point, but it didn't, sadly.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of the whole James Franco conning Lindsay in this episode, that storyline? Is, as Dariana states, is the system really rigged against kids like him, or should he have just done his homework the whole year? I removed that.
I mean, I feel like kids that use the excuse, somebody called me dumb and so I'm dumb, That always makes me mad on TV shows because I'm like, come on now. Like, if you just do your schoolwork like everyone else in the class, you can do it. Like, you just have to try. And he clearly has not tried. And that always makes me really, really pissed off. I have no idea if it's actually rigged, like if actual school systems, you know, pull this on kids, because I've never seen it. But, you know, it could have happened. But, yeah, I always get mad at characters that act like this.
I feel like there wasn't enough kind of evidence, I guess, to the point of the school being rigged or the system being rigged, because I feel that we would have seen that it was rigged if James Franco would have asked for help, or like if he would have been trying and then we saw the school kind of working against him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, that teacher was just as much of an asshat as he was, but he never like actively tried to stop him from doing better. He just got tired of trying.
Right. And I'm thinking about this now, and I didn't think about it before, but it kind of feels like a Breakfast Club situation with Bender and Principal, what is it, Principal Vernon? Where the teacher has just stopped trying and just wants to make this guy's life kind of hellish because he's made his life that way.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah, so Danielle, you brought up a good point in the doc, though. Does this change how you're looking at Daniel as a character, or at least James Franco? Not maybe James Franco as James Franco, because he's done a lot of weird things, but I still kind of like him. So
yeah,
I don't have mad hate for him either, and so I try to defend him sometimes, but it's like sometimes he's just indefensible. And
right, I don't hate him, and I do enjoy some of the stuff that he does, and I'm not against him, but I do feel like my perception of him as a persona has tainted this for me, because there was that one, the first scene where he was talking about how he was given track 3, and it was really difficult for me to discern if he was genuinely crying as this character, because sometimes James Franco overacts, like it's a thing, he just does it. And
no,
so
he does.
And so instead of just watching this play out and seeing it as the character, I was trying to discern what James Franco was doing. Was he trying to cry as this character? Was he doing this weird, like, I don't even know what Marlon Brando does, but, like, it looked like a Marlon Brando acting thing because the crying was so weird. Like, I couldn't tell what was going on because I couldn't tell what version of James Franco was currently playing. But that's because I know that he has multiple James Francos. So if I would have seen it earlier, I might not have had this weird thought process.
I got you. I follow you.
Yeah, and he, like, the second time when they're in the room and he, like, goes back into the whole I was track 3 thing, like, he's clearly used this excuse since he was told that he's track 3.
Right.
So he sort of just, like, fell into this pattern of, oh, if I play this sob story where no one believes in me, like, I'm going to get what I want, and I'm not going to have to do any work whatsoever, which is what he's trying to do in that second scene. And when Lindsay starts laughing at him, and he's, like, trying to still fake cry, but be like, come on, man, be cool. Like, I was like, oh my gosh.
I watched these episodes with my brother, and he's never seen any of Freaks and Geeks, but I needed to watch them. And so he sat down and watched them with me, and he just could not stop laughing. Like, as soon as she started laughing, he was gone. And I was like, what are you laughing at? And he goes, I don't even know. And he just kept laughing. It was hysterical. But I think it's kind of the same situation. I don't think Lindsay necessarily realized exactly why, but it was just so damn funny watching him try and snow these adults.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like Daniel that much. I think it has to do with what Daniel brought up earlier, because I think James Franco is overacting. And,
oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I'm never really a huge fan of him, but then when you're watching Lindsay fall for this and you're just like, no, girl, come on, like, step it up, be cool. I know she likes him, but he's clearly all over Busy Phillips still. And wants, or Kim Kelly, we should probably stick to character names, but you know, she's so blind and so much smarter than she needs to be. And her parents believe her. But what do you guys think of Lindsay in this episode? Were you like wanting to shake her out of her green jacket, or
pretty much?
Go ahead.
No, she does things that I just can't understand her motivation for. It's like, why are you doing this? You don't want to. You know you're not supposed to. You have no interest in doing it before. You knew it was wrong. You weren't going to do it, and then you let something, you know, snow you into doing it. It drives me crazy. Like, just stick to your guns.
See, I was super conflicted. I think I was conflicted not obviously as much as Lindsay was, but I feel like there's just something to having the knowledge that you maybe could help this person and help them not fail and help them not have to repeat this, especially I think it would have been fine. I think she would have stuck to her guns if she did not have that conversation with that teacher. Because
yeah,
because it kind of drove home the point that people like her, and I'm one of the people like her, like some things just really come easy to us. And we think that if people try enough, that it can come easy to them too. And so when it doesn't, I always want to help people. Like I always want to help people succeed. But if there's someone like that teacher who's kind of actively working against or thinking against that person succeeding, that just makes me want to help them even more in whatever way that I can. So I might have fallen into the same pitfall that Lindsay did, but it still bothered me at the same time.
Yeah, I could see that. I like that you brought up the part with the teacher, because going into the point I was bringing up, I was thinking more along the lines of like, she's going in with those like hard eyes thinking about Danielle. But you're right, she does have the secondary motivation running through her actions. It's not just proving to Danielle that she cares enough about him to watch him, want to watch him succeed, but it's that she can prove someone else wrong in their perception of just looking at him on the surface. So I like that. It makes it a little bit easier to swallow, but it's still hard to watch her, especially like when she gets involved, her parents get involved, and they're like, it's screaming over her and yelling, and he's like, not my daughter, my daughter needs to go to a better school than this, and blah 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 blah, because they don't even understand what's going on with her, and they're recognizing that it's a problem.
Yeah, that part was hard for me to watch, like once they started taking her side and she was in a lie. Because I remember when I was little, I lied about something, and my mom, I lied about something that happened on like the playground, and my mom got on the phone with the school and started like yelling, or not yelling, but trying to figure out what happened, see what can be done about it. And then later I had to tell her that I lied. And so like I totally fell for Lindsay at that point. Because like, oh, you were caught in a lie, and this really sucked, and it's going to suck really hard after.
Yeah, I remember one time I stole, this is great, I was like playing with something at the register, and I like took it, and like I'm pretty sure I innocently walked out of the store like still playing with this little like pin, like it was had an American flag on it, and I was playing with it still in the car, and I realized it, and my mom asked me like, oh, what, where did you get that? And I told her, oh, the lady at the store told me I could have it. Like, I don't even know why I said that. And then I got home and they were like, my mom and dad still didn't believe me. But I like walked myself into a lie. Like, I could have easily just said, oh, I accidentally took it. We could have walked back in the store and rectified it. But no, I had to bring both parents into the situation. And then I finally told the truth. And then it was even more of a mess. So I don't know. That just made me think of that. So clearly I have some unresolved issues with something that happened when I was like 6, but you know.
Same. So yeah, it's hard to really decide if how Ariana put this in the doc, if Lindsay was a dumbass, because I don't know. I feel like that's a very hard decision, because yeah, they want to fail, but they also don't, I don't know. And you don't want to see people around you fail, whether they're great friends of yours or just people that you hang out with every once in a while. At least for me, like that's very hard for me.
I think the hardest thing here is that while she wants to be really close and be friends with these people, Dan hasn't exactly like fully embraced her. Like, yeah, there are moments where he's really nice to her, and like the thing with the blue ribbons in her bedroom and like certain little things. But in general, when they're like in public and just as a group, he's not all that nice to her. And so it's like, Lindsay, why? Like, I understand wanting to help him and, you know, in tutoring him and all of that. I understand it. And I even get the whole teacher thing, because, yeah, that guy was a total jerk face. And I can see wanting to prove him wrong. But like, helping him fill out an actual version of the test that he's going to fill in the next day. Like, I feel like if she would have given it 2 seconds of thought, she would have known that they're going to know that it wasn't him that did it. That there's no way that he could go one day not knowing a thing about algebra or whatever he was doing at all. Yeah. And then the next day have it all figured out. Like, she's a smart girl. And so she should have known that there's no way that she can just give him the answers and that everything was going to be fine. That's where I get to trouble.
Yeah, I totally understand, because I kept expecting her to have him like shoot for a C or shoot for a B- or something that wasn't right. a complete A plus.
Yeah, like the make it believable.
Yeah, like get a couple wrong.
Right.
That's the.
But
I mean,
gave him an A. Yeah.
Not that it's I've just... ever cheated before, but I know that that's the way that you cheat. Like you don't go from zero to 100%. You don't do that because that is obvious. You get a few wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess like Daniel, as you were saying, Kristen, like Daniel really doesn't show any like inkling that he's trying to be nice to Lindsay or making any special effort to like get to know her. But in one way, he sort of like sees her as this other being, especially when he's in her room and he's pointing out all these blue ribbons and he's realizing that she is genuinely there just to try and help him and expects like nothing from it. Whereas when he sees, I keep wanting to call him Sweets because that's what Ariana put in the doc.
Do it.
But when he sees Sam on the like porch that night, like when he's like looking over like his sex ed stuff, he like sees someone who he can help. And that's a side of Daniel that I like, is that he saw a kid who needed help and he thought of a way that could help him, even though it ended up just completely messing him up for like a week. He did see like a little window into trying to help someone else out. So what did you think of them, the geeks, I should say, in this episode?
I just love the geeks. I have a love-hate relationship with the freaks side of the show because I feel like they're unnecessarily mean a lot of the time, but I love Sam, Neil, and I can never remember the third one's name.
Bill,
that's it. Thank you. I love them, especially Bill, like when he's being dry and sarcastic and just like, he's just on, you know, I love them so much. So this whole storyline for them was absolutely hysterical. And it's so, so true. And the guy, the health teacher, like calling him out in class was so mean and I felt so bad for him. So yeah, I loved this part of the episode.
I liked it too. You mentioned the teacher, and the only thing I don't get is the teacher going from being a total D-bag in that classroom situation to being that guy who explains all of this stuff really nicely to John Francis Daly, and like they're laughing. Like I don't equate that as the same person, so that was kind of weird. But I did really like James Franco's interactions with Sam. That was actually like second place for my favorite scene for this episode.
Yeah, I liked my favorite part of the geeks is, and Ariana does a good job of like bringing this up, is that everyone is at a different stage, whether they're the same age or a year older or whatnot, where you have Neil, who's like taking it as like, oh yeah, we're gonna watch this movie and I'm gonna like be an expert on everything, and he's just very, very confident. And there's Bill, who's just not interested in anything. Like he's just sort of like, okay, whatever, like whatever happens, yeah. happens. And then you have Sam, who's genuinely questioning, like, what is going on? Like, am I supposed to understand these things? Am I not supposed to understand these things? Like, am I too immature, like, that I don't understand the joke? And I love that they have to keep splitting the joke because they couldn't put the whole joke in sequence as like a network thing. Like they couldn't have someone say the whole joke, so they had to keep cutting it at different parts, but you're able to like, put it together throughout the whole episode.
I couldn't.
Yeah, so if you watch it, like you either catch the end of it or you catch the beginning of it or like a little bit of the middle. Like they never can say the joke in a full sequence.
Oh, so I haven't been able to put it together. I might have to go back and watch it.
But yeah, so I like that, and I like that Sam keeps telling the joke to different people, and when they tell it to Harris, the like weird like wise kid who's only a year older than him, and he's just like, oh, I get it, and like he's like, no, he doesn't, he totally doesn't get it. So it's like you try to weed out like who actually understands things and who's just saying that because they're trying to like fit in or whatnot. So I loved the geek story in this round, especially Disturbed Sam. I love looking at Disturbed Sam with his face. And he's just like
uncomfortable Sam as she as he scoots further and further from the
back,
TV, like like the extra foot is gonna help. Like, how much farther can I can I get?
Yeah,
right.
So great.
And then when he's like ripping apart his sandwich, trying to get Cindy away from talking to him.
Yeah. I also felt so uncomfortable when he started telling the joke to his parents, because I'm like, you don't tell your, like, if you're trying to figure out what is clearly a dirty joke that you don't get, you do not ask your parents. Like, I mean, maybe you should, but I would not have been able to. And so when he just is sitting at the table, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then neither of them really got it. And I was like, okay, phew, like, situation, you know, crisis averted.
Do you think neither of them got it? Because I kept getting the impression that the dad knew what was going on.
But and he
I
was
just
wrong.
The dad knew, but was just like, I don't get it.
Yeah, like, I am not broaching this subject with my son right now. Nope,
exactly.
Not doing it.
Okay. Yeah. I have a quick question. It's slightly unrelated. But so the younger crew is obviously the geeks, but I don't fully understand why the moniker, like, the freaks is given to the other crowd. I feel like just because they don't feel freaky enough for me, I guess. Like, they're not jocks, they're not cheerleaders, but they're not, like, brainiacs or total wastoids, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's
just 'cause they're different?
At least for, yeah, and I think it just for our purposes, at least, it's easier, and I guess for, like, America, it was easier just to, like, discern the groups, and that's the titles that everyone gave to them. I don't think it was necessarily, like, okay, these are freaks and these are geeks. Like, because Lindsay fits into the geek category, and you can kind of put Neil in a freak category at some parts. So I think that they sort of intermingle, but, like, these are the two very different groups that you're going to have to encounter in high school. Like, they don't really fit in anywhere. So, like, freaks and geeks sort of, like, just applies to both groups, but because there's two separate things and they're telling two parallel stories, it's easier to assign one to the other. You know what I mean?
So is freaks then more of a catch-all than anything?
I would think so.
Okay. Because they don't seem like freaky people who you don't want to talk to. Because they seem relatively
popular.
They're
not like hanging out in the corner, like, you know, like they're interacting with most of the class. Like, they're not those people hiding out in, like, dark corners and, like, sitting in the back of the room and stuff like that. I mean, I went to Catholic school, though, guys. I don't know what any, like, we didn't have freaks because there was a dress code, so.
I mean, we sort of did. A lot of them you could tell because they would try too hard to be slightly rockerish and emo and, like, not care about their appearance, sort of. I don't know. I just, it's just the fact that the show is called Freaks and Geeks, and I thought that they would be slightly more alienated, I guess, than they are. But just because it was set in, like, the 80s, whereas now, I mean, everybody is a geek, or everybody loves comic books or Star Trek or stuff like that. So it's just hard for me to try to figure out why that moniker is kind of being applied to them. But this helps.
And everything kind of makes Dan out to be the cool kid that everyone loves.
Yes,
like, every
exactly.
time we see Dan, he's, like, in the center of a group of people, and whether it's, you know, the same group or a bunch of randoms or some other girl, he never seems to be out. You think of freak, and you think of it as, like, an outcast, and they are clearly not. And so I think that's why you're having issues, which I totally get. It's just, I kind of see it as the grouping name for those other people on the show. Like, clearly the younger ones are the geeks, so we named the older kids the freaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, Judd Apatow was like, oh, this is a catchy title. Let's go with Freaks and Geeks. And then we just sort of gave it our own distinction, which I guess is acceptable. But at the same time, I think it is a catch-all term and not necessarily supposed to be, like, a defining, this is what freaks means, this is what geek means.
Right. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. I do have another question, though, because for you guys. So we did not have sex ed in our school.
Understandable, so, Catholic school.
Yeah.
No offense or no stereotyping.
I was just wondering, is that, like, did you guys have a similar, like, I know boys and girls are separated, like, I get that. Like, we had a one-day talk. Boys were in one room, girls were in another room, and that was it. And, like, we had, like, our weird, weird female principal come in and talk to us for, like, maybe 20 minutes, and that was it. Like, and then it was like, go home to your parents and talk about it.
And this is in high school?
No, this was in sixth grade.
Okay. Because I had it in fifth grade, actually. We had, like, I think once a week for maybe a month or two, where the guys and girls would separate, and then all the fifth graders, guys and girls would separate, and then we'd get, like, a little bit, like, more of the science-y things, I guess, and, like, what happens when you first get your period, and, like, those kinds of things. And then we also had it in eighth grade, where it was a little bit more of the science and also, I guess, the consequences of parenthood and stuff like that. Because, I mean, I had a few classmates in middle school that were pregnant, so, like, they had to start. And that was co-ed. And so it was high school. High school was also co-ed health class.
Oh, yeah.
Had it for, like, a semester or a quarter. I can't remember how long. But it was pretty much everything. So it was science. It was a little bit, like, they can only do so much on sex because they don't want to endorse it or really talk about it, I guess.
Yeah. Cause, like, we had health class in.
Yes, it was in health class. Yeah.
Yeah. In, like, sixth grade. I never had it in high school. Like, we never had to do anything like that in high school.
Yeah. I had, like, I went to a parochial school for grade school. So it's a little Lutheran school. Mm-hmm. And so when we did the sex talk in, like, fifth grade or whatever, we did the health class portion of it where you talk about, you know, the physical parts and all of that, like the technical stuff, the science stuff. And then you had to get a permission slip signed saying that you asked your parents. So I had to come home and tell my parents that it was ed time and that they had to talk to me.
We had a form too.
We had to get parents' approval before we could even do it.
Well, ours was a form saying that I talked to my parents and that they talked to me about it so that they wouldn't have to touch on, like, the consequences stuff. And then when I got to high school, it was just co-ed health class and we, you know, went through the whole nine. But my health teacher was hilarious, so we all thoroughly enjoyed, like, making him turn red and giggle during that part. It was really funny. So it wasn't as traumatizing for me as it was for Sam, but yeah.
All right. Well, this has been very educational, ladies. hopefully we got all of our, you know, ducks in a line for each of us. We graduated, we moved on, we're
big kids now.
I think I got the gist of it by now.
Picked it up on the street.
Yeah. So let's move on to our favorite scenes and lines from this week. So Danielle, you can kick us off.
Sure. Let me go. Okay. So I touched on it before and I'm not sure why it struck a nerve with me. Maybe it's because I always tried to trust my teachers, and have some sort of relationship with them. But my favorite scene was James Franco's teacher talking about how losers pull down winners and how James Franco is a loser. Because even in the Breakfast Club, when the principal was kind of talking about how Bender is a loser, I was not as affected as I was when watching this scene with this teacher who I'd never seen before talk about how losers pull down winners. Like, it just had a very strong hold on me.
Yeah, there's, like, I talked about that. There's something about this show where I think it's maybe because I don't watch it all the time and it's coming out of left field, but I talked about this in my Kim Kelly notes. Like, there's something about the way that they depict scenes in this series that just, like, stick with me personally more than any other show that I've seen. Like, a million shows could talk about this particular issue, and I would think of Freaks and Geeks as the first example. like, if I had to, like, you know, they're like, oh, we're teachers, put other students down, I'd be like, oh, well, like, James Franco and Freaks and Geeks, or, like, oh, we're going to look in an abusive home, and I'm like, oh, Kim Kelly. Like, it's something about this show that just makes it stick. I don't know why, but I see that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because we get such a stark contrast with the Weir's home life, where they're so, I don't want to say pure or good, but there's something about them that creates a really stark contrast to the rest of the show, that maybe that's why we pick up on these things more. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that thought, though. I'll have to pay. We'll pay attention to it going forward. Kristen, what was your favorite scene from this week?
My favorite scene was when Sam and the health teacher, who I've just called Biff Tannen because he played Biff in Back to the Future, when they, like, had their little talk, because you watch Sam go from this, like, closed off, freaked out little boy, like, you see it, and then as this teacher starts talking and talking about how ridiculous what he saw in this porno is, you can't even hear him, but you know that that's what he's saying, and you just watch him get more and more comfortable with the fact that it's okay. It's okay to be a little freaked out. Don't, you know, you can see him becoming more and more comfortable in his own skin the whole time. And it just, it was one of my favorite. I really, really liked this moment. And it made me not hate the health teacher anymore, because he was being really mean at the beginning. And by the end, you could see he kind of noticed that this kid just needed to kind of be, he needed a chance to get off his chest, like, what was going on. And getting to talk to him in private like that, you can tell, just made the world of difference to Sam.
Yeah. I love that too.
Until next episode, where he returns to being
totally freaked out again.
Yeah, where Sam is, but at least Biff doesn't go back. I'm gonna use that too, because that's the only way that I can do it.
He doesn't have a name, so yeah, Biff.
Yeah, like, he doesn't go back to being a total jerkwad of a teacher.
Yeah.
So
it's just, and he, you know, and he easily could have. He could have just been a total jerk and called him out in class again. And, but he saw that this was just, you know, this was a kid who just didn't understand and who needs a chance to get it off his chest. So I really loved it.
So my favorite scene this week was when Lindsay just starts laughing at the end of the meeting, because I think she just realizes, like, everything comes to a head. She's like, this is ridiculous. I cannot believe I'm caught up in this. Like, I keep calling him James Franco. I'm just going to call him James Franco.
Yes.
James Franco is an idiot. Like, I can't believe I fell for it the first time. I'm falling. Like, this is just, like, she just can't help but laugh at the situation that she's found herself in. And I love that. I almost picked the scene with, like, Millie, but when she's on the stairs, she's like, the mathletes are worried about you.
They're saying some things.
Yeah. All right, so favorite lines from this week. Danielle, what was yours?
Obviously, it's from Mr. Weir, because even though he's never on screen, like, ever, he always has the best things to say. And he says, she's hanging with the wrong crowd. They're lying and cheating. And the next thing you know, she's Patty Hearst, and she's got a gun to our heads. It's just such an over-exaggeration. And it, as soon as he said Patty Hearst, it reminded me of Veronica Mars, because like, Patty Hearst helped fund the college or whatever or the Hearst family funded the college that Veronica goes to, whatever. But it, so that stuck out to me, but I also just like Mr. Weir because he's nuts.
Gotta love Mr. Weir. I look forward to his, like, rants.
He was also my number two quote, and it was something about how he was going to answer the door because Lindsay's a girl and it's dark outside.
I love it.
So, Mr. Weir for the win.
Okay, I'll go second. Mine is from Dan. And at the beginning of the episode, the teacher, when he's, like, when Dan's in the class with the teacher, he goes through this whole thing about the bus driver, like, being a bus driver or whatever. And when Dan is in, later on in the episode, when he's in the room with Lindsay, like, she's starting to kind of tutor him, he says, if I studied, I could do it. It's not like I'm a bus driver. And for some reason, like, just the fact that he didn't get what the teacher meant by the whole bus driver analogy from earlier in the episode, he totally missed the point of it. He just, now he kind of thinks of bus drivers as track three people. And so now, like, you can tell in that scene, like, he's trying to play it off to Lindsay, like, I'm not a track three. Like, I could do it if I wanted, but I don't, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, for a second, he's trying to be the cool guy and not just trying to get himself out of trouble. And it just cracked me up. I was like, he really doesn't get it. Like, this is proof positive that he missed the whole idea of it. Like, he lost it.
So my favorite line for this episode was when they're watching the porno and they're about to start and Bill's just sitting there and he's like, do you have popcorn? Just like, because they're like, he has no idea what they're getting into. And he's just like, oh, well, we're watching a movie. I might as well have a snack while I'm here. I love Bill and his just, yeah, he like grosses me out a lot, but he's also hilarious.
He's my favorite of Sam's two friends.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Like by far.
I love his jokes, and you can tell when he thinks he's, like, got a real winner. Like, he says things, and you can tell that he likes his own jokes, and it makes me happy.
Oh, God. All right, so let's move on to an episode that contains a character that we didn't really get to see in the last episode.
Yes! Yeah,
Babyface Jason Segel.
Hashtag more Jason Segel.
And his adorable short shorts.
I love him. I love him so much.
He is my spirit animal, and I will explain it in a little while, but oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
All right, so let's talk about episode 6, I'm with the band, and the synopsis reads, in this episode, Jason Segel thinks he's really good at drums, even though he doesn't even know how to keep a fucking beat. In the end, he's crying like a chump, so Lindsay kisses him out of pity, which, as the wise Sansa Stark noted, is the death of desire. I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Meanwhile, Sweets gets picked on at school because the bullies know he's going to grow up to be super hot and rich. After school special lesson learned, if you want to be good at something, you have to actually fucking practice, you entitled millennials. I don't know. Glee Club never practiced, and they were pretty damn good, so...
Yeah, I mean, they could write their own song 2 days before nationals and walk out their, like, champs.
Win it all. So,
like, who knows?
Yeah, and, like, the choreography is unbelievable. But Jason Segel really needs to practice. I love when he puts in the tape in the beginning of the episode and, like, you think that he's, like, doing great, and then it just cuts to what everyone on the outside hears.
I mean,
and it is so bad.
He's not terrible.
No. During his little audition, he actually did fairly well. Like, I remember thinking, okay, it's not perfect, but it's not, like, awful. Yeah, when he's playing with the other guys, it sounds awful, but that's because they're all awful. So I feel like he could have been a decent drummer if he would have just practiced.
I love it, though. I think it's hilarious when his dad just, like, walks away up the stairs.
So, yeah, I get that all the time because I am obsessed with music, most specifically Paramore, and I find myself, like, lip syncing or head banging or sometimes rocking out as if I'm on a stage, and then people will look at me and just walk away. So I totally feel Jason Segel because he's so into it, and like he knows all of the moves. He's probably watched the band play, and so he knows like little ticks, and so he's good at that and maybe not actually drumming. And the same thing with me. I'm good at movements that I've seen Hayley Williams do, but I'm not a rock star singer. So spirit animal.
And it makes him happy. He's doing it and he's happy when he's doing it, so it really doesn't matter because he's just so cute.
I know,
and I love that he has to wear short shorts when he drums. It's just one of my favorite things
because he can't handle the fabric on his legs. His explanation to Lindsay for why he had to wear shorts was just fabulous.
So let's talk about the band. And for a minute, so we have Ken, played by Seth Rogen, who is our singer, and we have James Franco on a, like, really cool guitar, and then you have Josh from Heavyweights on the bass.
A.K.A. Goldberg from Mighty Ducks.
Yes.
Yes.
Also
he
Goldberg.
Is in the Mighty Ducks too.
Yeah.
I just want to keep screaming yes. Because I love him so much. I don't know why.
So the band is, they could probably go on tour today. So the band could probably go on tour today and sell out just because of the names that are in it. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they don't even necessarily have to actually play their instruments. They could just, you know, play a backing track or something and pretend. Yeah. And people would pay big bucks.
So what did you think of Kim Kelly and Lindsay's reactions to the band? Because I was so frustrated with both of them. I'm like, they're not good. Stop acting like that. But what did you guys think?
Well, I couldn't figure out how else Lindsay could have responded. Like, okay, Kim Kelly, I don't know what her problem is, because they're really not great at all. And she is rocking out like, you know, like none other. At least Lindsay, like, you can tell she's like, yeah, you know, you guys are having fun. That's awesome. Like, I feel bad for her, because how do you tell this kid who, you know, calls drumming, like, you know, the reason he breathes or something. And how do you tell him that his band is awful? Like, I would fall into Lindsay syndrome here, where I would just be like, yeah, you guys are great. And then sit really quietly.
Yeah, I definitely would too.
Guys, I think I totally missed the boat on this, because I didn't think they were god awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love you.
I think, I don't know, rock is messy. Like, music, a lot of music, I feel like, from the 70s and 80s is not refined, and it's messy, and I thought they sounded fine. I'm so confused. So maybe that's why I didn't, like, I don't know. Like, I understand that Jason Segel is not a professional, like, he doesn't have the talent to be a professional drummer. Not right now. Like, I get that. I got that part. But I didn't think he was god-awful. And so I guess I didn't understand a lot of the reactions that were going on in the show, because I thought that they were supposed to be just okay and not awful, but apparently they were awful, and I just don't understand.
No, I mean, I call them awful. I really feel like if any of them really cared about being in the band, that they would be able to do, I could put it, quote unquote, better. I mean, music is very subjective. Things that some people say are absolute trash, others absolutely love. It's, you know, so you're totally entitled to think that they're totally fine and that they did a great job and that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
That.
But I mean,
there's
nothing wrong with that though.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like they definitely, if they practiced at all and cared at all, could be fine, but you know that they're all in the band because it's cool to be in a band, except for Jason Segel, who just really, really wants to drum.
Yeah. Yeah, if they cared, like, an eighth of what Jason Segel cared, like, I mean, Daniel only cares how he looks holding a guitar, and mm-hmm. Ken is just there because his friends are there, I think.
Yeah, didn't he say, like, my friends wanted to join a band and they could do that, so I obviously, like, just became a singer.
Like, there in the background.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah. So, I yes, they're not horrible, but they're not the best.
No, okay.
I love how you love them. I think that's great.
I don't love them, but I think they were, like, I've heard worse, and I've seen worse, like, on TV or on movies or whatever, and I thought that they were, like, if they did practice, they might be better, but I understand why they don't. But I just didn't think they were god-awful.
I mean, no one can live up to the movie magic that was Lindsay Lohan's band in Freaky Friday.
Of course.
But they were pretty good.
Oh, man.
That is probably literally what I judge every on-screen band against, is her rock band.
That's fair. That is more than fair. I feel like that's a good scale.
So what do we think about Jason Segel's dad, though, where he's kind of like taking the position of that teacher where he's sort of like, listen, you can't even get a C average, so you need to start worrying about what you're going to do after high school. And the only option for you is looking like it's going to be the military. So what did you think about that?
I don't like the idea of either succeed or join the military. And I kind of would have thought that because Freaks and Geeks is doing so many other different things with characters, like Kim Kelly's family and that teacher at the school who was completely down on his students, I thought they would have done something different with the military family man than you're not doing well in school, so you're going to the military and you're gonna be a man because it made me a man. That was kind of disappointing to me.
Yeah, and it did give Lindsay another track to follow. Like, this is her third time hearing, like, you're not good enough. She heard it at Kim Kelly's dinner. Like, you're not good enough. James Franco was like, well, Everyone always told me I'm dumb. And then now, so she's caught in a lie telling Kim Kelly's family that Kim's going to stay with her. Then she cheats with James Franco. And now she's like in this weird romantic relationship with Jason Segel that she doesn't want to be in because she cares about other people feeling like they can do whatever they want. So I feel like she's just picking up the slack and getting stuck. Doesn't know what she wants.
I never noticed that thread running through all three of those episodes. I need to sit here for a little while because
I didn't either, but it makes total sense.
It does. Like
everybody else is being told they can't and they can't and they suck and they can't. And she has never really heard that. Her parents are, you can do whatever you want. Keep trying. Like, it's the total opposite. The Weirs are the opposite of everyone else's parents at this point.
Yeah, and I feel like Lindsay is just getting stuck. She doesn't know what she wants, so she's just finding everyone else that she can feel like she's doing something. And the thing that she could do for Jason Segel is kiss him, but now she's sort of like caught in this, oh, he thinks that we're going to be together now phase.
Just go with it, Lindsay. He's totally adorable.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what your problem is. Have you seen him?
I know.
Like, he tries so hard to be really nice all the time for you. It's so cute.
However, I didn't like that pity kiss. As much as I would kind of like to see them together, I know I was listening to the last episode of Rewatchable and Caitlin is not Team Nick, and I can totally understand where she's coming from, but I am Team Nick because I'm a sucker for people like that, good or bad. As much as I would like them to get together, I did not like that at all. Like, I didn't like that she felt like she had to, and I don't want to see her pretending with that, because I feel like Nick has been trying to be real with her, and, like, this is her not being real. I don't know. I just didn't like it.
I agree. I really don't want Nick to be the Gale to her Katniss.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, or even the PETA to her Katniss.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at PETA, at least, eventually she, like, develops actual feelings for it. Like, you know. Yeah. But with Gale, it's he's in trouble or he's sad or something's awful and things are bad. And so now I'm going to help him. I don't want it to go that way because I really think he's good. You know, he's a good guy. I really think he means well. And I want, if something were to happen between them, which now it kind of has, I want it to be, you know, wholehearted and sweet. But yeah, I don't want her to feel like she's just doing it to make him feel better. And I wasn't on board for that either.
Yeah, I mean, I love Nick and I like the idea of Lindsay and Nick, but I agree. I don't like how it turned out in the episode. I do like where it's going, though. I like that Lindsay has to deal with this and she knows, like, she's walking this fine line between being too nice and then also being stuck because she's too nice. Like, she doesn't want to break her. Like, her go-to instinct is to just do whatever is necessary to make someone else feel better. But now she kind of has to do something that she doesn't want to do because she trapped herself into it. And I like that she's going to have to deal with that going forward.
I don't know. It's really hard to watch. And I feel like I would be stuck in the same situation as Lindsay. I don't know. If presented with the event or whatever, I probably wouldn't do much better.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I think I would, and I probably, like, still be going out with Nick, because we'd probably, like, end up getting married, because I'd be like, well, walked right into that one.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I definitely would have hugged him. Like, I would have wanted to hold him and make him feel better, but I don't know. It's a rough situation. She did the best she could, but I still wasn't a huge fan.
And I'd like to point out that in our doc, it's really hard to read because it's in all caps, but Ariana went on a rant about how Lindsay is the only nice human. And do you see what she gets for being a nice human? She ends up accidentally stuck with a weird boyfriend. She can't even break up with him because he just had all of his dreams crushed, and now he's going to go to the army. This is what happens to nice people. The world is terrible.
Ariana rage is all over this doc, and it's just like, wow.
There's just so much caps lock. Oh, gosh.
I feel like Lindsay's efforts would be better spent helping Nick not have to go to the army than helping Dan not be dumb. Like, she could tutor Nick, and I feel like he could do really well. And I think he'd take well to being tutored by her because he likes her, like, a lot. You can tell. So I'm like, help him. Stop trying to help Dan.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Definitely. So, do you guys want to move on to talking about the geeks and the awkwardness of showering in the middle of the day at school?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Because I didn't have to do that. I don't know if anyone else had to do that at school. But this is one of those things that comes up a lot in, like, older television shows. I don't know if it actually, like, people do that.
I mean, today. Glee, I'm sure they sang in the showers.
That is true.
So that means that it's real life and everybody does that.
That is how Mr. Shu found
teachers creep on you while you're showering.
Which still bothers me to this day. But it does bring up a good point for, again, the, like, aging that's going on within Sam's little group. Like, he does not want to shower. He is not comfortable. He knows that people are incredibly rude and mean and are going to make fun of him because he feels like he's underdeveloped at this stage in his life, and he gets very sassy. So how do we feel about Sam? I mean, I'm all on team Sam for sticking up for his right to not shower at school, but what do you guys think?
I can just say I would have been absolutely on board with Sam and the maybe I need to shower, but I don't want to because you people are crazy and weird and I don't want to be in a shower with you people. I took summer gym so that I wouldn't have to take showers during school. So, like, I would go for 3 or 4 hours for 2 weeks during the summer and I never had to take gym during the school day. So I have no idea how this would actually work in a high school
setting. That is amazing. I wish we had that.
Yeah, you could take it as a separate class during the summer so you wouldn't have to worry about it during the school year. It was fabulous.
Man, that would have been great.
We were never mandated to shower. At least not during the school day. And the only time we really were told to shower or that we really wanted to shower was when we were in our swim units or when we had to do, like, laps for cardio. Then we would want to shower, because, I mean, gotta get some of the chlorine off of you. And we'd have to shower before we got in the pool too, because otherwise the pool would have been gross. But the only other types of showering that we had to do were the guys. And in wrestling, they had to shower after practice. Like, my best friend was on wrestling for a while and he's got stories that are permanently burned into my brain, but, like, even the teacher would shower with them or something, and, like, he would force everybody to shower, and my friend and a bunch of the guys would just make it worse for people who were not into showering or very uncomfortable, where they would make them really uncomfortable to the point where they would just do it and then they would be fine and comfortable. I don't know. So that was the only time showering was real. But is this a mandate that's real for a lot of people? Because it wasn't the gym teacher just being mean. It was the gym teacher saying, like, we have to do this because it's a state mandated thing.
I don't know. I feel like, I like when Sam says the line, like, I didn't even sweat. Like, so it's not like, I feel like he wouldn't have been so hard if it was like an optional thing or they were allowed to get away with it. But the way that the teacher handled it, it seemed like he needed, like he actually did have to make them shower after gym.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like if he didn't, he was going to get in trouble because he looked worried almost yeah. every time that Sam didn't. Shower? I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was like annoyed with him, like, oh, you need to grow up. It was more like, no, please, like, I don't want to be having this fight, like, because it's just gonna like make more problems for me later on, which I didn't think about until now. But that's a good point. Maybe it is like a mandated thing that they have to shower.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like it when he told the guys about it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the thing that I thought was kind of weird was that. And I don't know what the school's facilities have, but he tells the guys while they're in gym class that after that period they have to shower. Where were they supposed to get towels? Where were they supposed to get soap? Like, or if they're like me, where are they going to have flip-flops for the shower? Like, these are things that you need to have ahead of time, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
Like, what kind of facilities do they have?
They all magically had towels that day. Like, and everybody had what they needed. Yeah.
And, like, Bill had a robe. Like,
yeah.
The next day.
Yeah, and it wasn't, like, they were generic, like, gym towels. Like, I think Curly Girl's guy, yeah, he had one that said, like, Virginia is for lovers or something.
Yes, he did, because I loved his towel. I was like, I don't know why you have this, but it's fabulous.
Yeah, so it wasn't like they picked it up from a pile in the gym teacher's office. So where did they come from? I don't understand.
Who knows? Maybe their mothers made them bring them to school
was,
just
in
case.
It was so weird.
Who knows? Yeah, it's... Sigh.
On the bright side, though, this whole plot line finally led us to the John Francis Daly sassy shot that I've been seeing everywhere my whole life, slash however long I've been on Tumblr. Like, where he's sitting at the table and his family is trying to tell him that his body is beautiful. And, like, there are a few shots that I've seen on Tumblr and they were all right there, where he's just disgusted and looking at his family like, why are you talking to me right now?
I think the most uncomfortable moment I have had, most uncomfortable moment watching and that the show has had is his parents trying to convince Lindsay to tell him that his body is beautiful. I lost it. I was like, Lindsay, I'm totally with you. If my parents ever tried to pull that, I would have walked out of the room.
It's one of the better weird dinners that we've seen.
So good.
So, is there anything else you guys want to talk about with this episode?
Anything more about Jason Segel or
Sam? I'm trying to read through all of this caps lock.
Oh, yeah, I know, me too. I mean, I can get into the one thing that I want to talk about is my scene, so I can talk about that later.
Okay.
My favorite scene.
Well, there's one thing that Ariana kind of brought up here. Did you, because I know bullying, to me, my school experience, I never really had any bad bullying experiences that I saw or obviously like participated in. That's not the right word, but I was never a part of one. But was there a lot of bullying in your schools? Because it seems like it's always everywhere and this show obviously has it. And I think... I don't know. I think it's kind of... Ariana goes on a slight rant here. I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. Like, I understand why Sam wouldn't want to shower because of the bullying. But, like, what would be the point of bullying someone in the shower? Is it just because of farts? Like, I don't know.
Well, we don't know why
Alan feel like it's to alleviate tension.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know why Alan is such a jerk towards Sam, really. I mean, we don't really know why he's doing all this. But I can imagine that Alan is probably the biggest reason why Sam doesn't want to. It's because he knows Alan's in that class. He's going to be in the shower. He's going to pick on him because he singled him out for one reason or another. And I'm sure that's all weighing on Sam, too.
Yeah.
And we don't know why Alan is doing this. He's been picking on him since episode one, and there's no real logic to it. So, yeah, I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, because, like, I never had any bullying problems in the locker.
But back to your, like...
Sorry.
Yeah. No. I was going to say back to, like, your original question. Like, I didn't have, like, there weren't any bullying things. Like, yeah, getting changed for the first time ever in gym. Like, I didn't have to change for gym until high school because in grammar school, we had gym days. So, like, that would be the day you wore, like, your sweatpant uniform. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
So it wasn't similar. Like that. Yeah. So, like, when I got to high school, like, and the first time I had to, like, change and then go back to class and change again, it was, like, really weird. But it was uncomfortable, but then it went away. Like, it was just one day. You just had to, like, bite the bullet and yeah. do it.
Do you think that – I'm now thinking through what my question is. So do you think that Sam's – kind of like he was hesitant to change because he was hesitant about his body or because he was hesitant about the bullying? And I think it was more about his body, and then the bullying just seems unnecessary.
If that I agree with that, because like the whole beginning of him trying to just first of all get in the shower was the issue when he was focusing on his body, but then like the towel whipping and stuff came after Neil and Bill were like, whatever, we just have to get it over with. Like, but that wasn't even a factor going into it in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, it's not have had it, and it would have been a better, I feel like it would have kind of communicated the thought behind it better if there was no bullying in there.
Yeah, I agree.
If they would have left Alan completely out of this episode, just left him out of the class, I feel like that would have been a much better way to handle just the thing being all about Sam and Sam's body and how he feels. If that's what they were trying to get across with that storyline, then that's how it really should have gone. But because Alan's there and because there are what seem to be older kids in this gym class, it's hard to not include them being mean to the little kids. Like, yeah, I never really encountered a whole lot of bullying, but I can't imagine that in this kind of setting with a kid who's been mean to him before, that they could just pretend that Alan never picked on him. Like, I think it would have been a stronger choice to make the whole episode about Sam and how he feels and it just being about him. But because it's school and he already is in this situation, they included Alan in it. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. But it also brings up one last question. I'm sorry. So many questions today. How old is Alan? Because I'm assuming he's older, but he's also in quite a few of Sam's classes. So are we just supposed to understand that he's maybe behind in his grade?
Yeah, or, I don't know.
Or is he just kind of placed in places in order to make Sam uncomfortable? Like, for instance, his health class, he was in there because they were talking about how he got lice or whatever. And he's in this gym class, so I'm just confused slightly.
Well, I think that he falls into the same trap that Harris does, because Harris is, as they already stated, like, earlier in the last episode, he is their age. Like, he is 1 year older than them, and he is also right. in their gym class. So I feel like they sort of throw Alan in those, like, classes where the grades can be mixed. So I think he is a year older than him. I that's just what I think, because like they can have lunch together, like in stuff like they mix grades and lunches, and like maybe like my gym class had mixed grade levels in it, but health is another story though.
Right.
So that he could be behind or.
Well, my health class was crazy mixed. I was in there with a bunch of seniors. So, and that was my freshman year. So, I mean, I can see where that could be a mixed costume.
I guess. High school was so, God, I hate saying it was so long ago. My gym class was mixed. I don't remember. I guess my health class was too. That's weird. It just feels like they have all of the younger kids and then they throw in the wise old Harris and they throw in the bully. And I guess that's where I'm getting confused then.
Yeah, like if they had thrown like a James Franco into one of those classes, like it would make it a little clearer, I guess. But then again, he would probably just skip that class anyway.
He probably wouldn't show up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do we want to move to scenes and lines, and then we can expand upon scenes and lines if we want to?
Sure.
All right. Danielle, why don't you go first?
Since Brittany took mine, and she'll talk about it in a second, I'll take the ending scene. I loved the ending scene where Jason Segel is rocking out on his drums because, as I explained before, he is my spirit animal when it comes to pretending like you're playing for a crowd, but you're actually not, but you're super proud of yourself.
Okay, and Kristen?
Mine is with Sam and the guys walking home. And Alan kind of like rides up on his really awkward bicycle. This scene, I think, might be the reason they included the bullying storyline. They wanted to give Sam kind of a victory over Alan, but they wanted to give it to him as the result of something that Alan forced him to do. Like, Sam got, poor little Sam got locked out of the locker room and they stole his towel and he had to streak through the school. And what could have been one of the most mortifying and awful moments for Sam in the history of high school ends up being the thing that makes him cool to Cindy. Like, she drives down the road and she says, you know, you streaked. That's so cool. Like, for him to make some sort of victory come out of all of this stuff that he's been so nervous about was, I think, one of the best parts of this episode. Just, he got to kind of stick it to Alan, and he didn't even really have to do anything. He just had to react to his situation as best he could. And so that's maybe why they included this part in the storyline.
That's a good point. I forgot, like, I mean, I just watched it this afternoon, but I never looked at it that way.
Yeah. I wish it was two separate episodes, sort of, then.
Yeah.
Because I do totally get what you're saying. And that does make sense. It just felt like it was tacked on then. But I did like that he got that victory.
Yeah. And it made me laugh at who, it squints, who's Alan. Every time I look at him, I think he squints from Sandlot. Yeah. And I'm like, why are you making fun of people? Like, this is, no. You were a geek too, but no, anyway. But yeah. So, yeah.
So mine that I stole from Danielle is the opening scene with Jason Segel drumming, and when he like just puts in like the dry ice and he makes it really dramatic and there's all these lights going off and stuff. I loved every little part of it, because he has to put the glove on to put the dry ice. Who just has dry ice on?
I know. Like, that was the best part, that he had to have dry ice happening.
And his strobe lights.
Yes. And his dad comes down the stairs and is just looking at him like, really?
Oh. Nick.
Nick. Well, I'll move into my favorite line.
Oh, favorite line. Danielle, what was yours?
It is Martin Starr, Bill, right? I think that's his name. His reaction to this short guy with the curly hair. I still don't know their names. I'm so sorry. His chest hair. And he just turns to him and he goes, gonna slow you down in the pool.
Oh, that was so good.
I lost it. It was so fun.
Okay, well, mine is also, or mine comes from the geek side. It's from Neil instead of Bill, although I loved all of Bill's little quips in this episode. He had a lot of them, and they just came one after another, and I just died. But mine is from Neil when they're playing with the, I forget what they call it, like the world ball or something. And he says, that's it. I'm going to die in gym class. Like, they're kicking this giant ball in the air, and I can understand feeling like it's just going to crush you because, oh my god, like, that, it just cracked me up. I love it.
All right. Mine, let me find it. I have to get back to the doc. Mine was from Harris, who just, like, randomly appears, like, in a cloud of steam with no towel on, and he's just like, Our bodies are merely a shell which contain our heavenly souls. Try not to get too uptight. Like, he just has, like, these, like, weird, like, fortune cookie, like, things to say all the time and just magically appears when is needed. So I liked that line a lot.
That was wonderful.
All right. So that kind of, like, wraps us up for these two episodes. As always, you can reach us if you have anything to say about this episode, past episodes, future episodes. That isn't spoilery. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can talk to me and a bunch of other people on Twitter @re_watchable. This post will be up on hypable.com, so comment there. And then go to our Tumblr, rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you rate us 5 stars this week on iTunes, then Karen will do all of your homework for you because she is really smart and feels bad for your pathetic, lazy ass self.
Truth.
And you know what? Karen probably would do it. Not because she's, like, easy to manipulate, but because she is just, like, the kindest, hardest person in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so nice. Mm-hmm. And she would help you out in a heartbeat.
Totally would.
Definitely.
So we have some listener feedback from the Twitter, and should we split this up? Let's split it up. Let's go in order of our scenes and lines. So Danielle, do you want to read the first one?
Sure. Danny P, who is at Cerulean Snidget, whose Twitter handle makes me smile every time because it's so cool. Danny says, that amazing alternate reality where Biff from Back to the Future becomes a sex ed teacher. # freaks and geeks. Yes.
Yeah. And Back to the Future was on last night, so I just watched Back to the Future, and then to watch these episodes again this morning, I was like, oh gosh, that's right.
That was good planning.
As I said before, my brother watched these with me, and he goes, Biff Tannen! All right, I already love the show, and I was like, okay, there you go. It's fabulous.
Kristen, you can read the next one, even though I probably should have had Danielle read it, but that's okay.
All right.
That's all right. I will read the next one. It's Catherine Bedemian, I'm going to say. I'm sorry if I slaughtered that. @BedemianC09. And she puts this @Danielle. Finally watching Veronica Mars, so I'm listening to past @rewatchable episodes, and I'm loving your DCOM star sightings. Go ahead, Danielle.
Yes. Another marshmallow. I'm so happy. Although I did respond to them and I told them how excited I was. I don't remember all of my DCOM star sightings. Like, I don't remember who showed up. So I really need to go back and rewatch because I love DCOM stars.
Yeah, I watched Veronica Mars after you guys did it, and I love the show. And so I'm trying to, like, I'm racking my brain going, who showed up? I can't remember either. So it's not just you. I couldn't come up with anybody. And I watched a lot of Disney Channel back in the day.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I really need to go back.
Someday soon.
All right, so our next little bit of feedback comes from Sarah, whose Twitter handle is @magic_is_might. And she says, @rewatchable, us and our neighbor had our mailboxes smashed for several years in a row on Halloween, sometimes other times of the year. And that's just horrible. We're very sorry that you had your mailboxes smashed in and we made you relive it by listening to us talk about it.
Listening to me rant about how it's probably a felony and these people are awful. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is a felony because there's an episode of Boy Meets World that was on not too long ago where Sean, like, well, he blew up a mailbox.
Oh, yeah.
But
with the cherry bomb.
He was, like, on the run from the law.
With the cherry bomb.
Yeah.
I forgot. Aw.
There was a kid that I went to high school with, and he ran over a mailbox and then decided just to run over a bunch more. And
well,
like,
because, like, once you do one.
He was so angry that he did a bunch of them, I guess. And, yeah, it's a felony. Like, that was not good.
Oh, boy.
I'm so sorry for your mailbox and your neighbor's mailbox, and I hope that something not so great happened to the people that did that to your mailboxes, Sarah.
And I think we got some more of Ariana's caps lock where she just says, why are people terrible? So she understands too.
All And Sarah also wrote us, I think it was a couple days ago, she said, the Yoda-esque kid with the glasses, who is also Harris, reminds me of Guru Kid or whoever from Disney's Recess, if you remember who that is. Now, I Googled him, and I put in a helpful little picture for us, but Adiana came in and deleted my own input of listener feedback, so that's okay. My picture is gone.
I saw that. I was wondering, like,
I saw it too.
Yeah. So, like, he's, like, the kid, for the people listening, he's the kid who, like, just kind of sits under the playground with, like, he ties his shirt on his head at recess, and, like, they sometimes go and consult him. But more interesting, this tweet made me look into the cast of Recess, and the girl who plays Gretchen, like, or the cartoon Gretchen, I shouldn't play the girl who plays her, she looks exactly like Millie, looks just like her with glasses. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to look this up.
Yeah, I'll tweet it too, because it's so weird. Like, it just, I was looking up to find out who this Guru kid was, and I was like, oh my god, looks just like her.
And now I'm trying to remember what Gretchen sounds like, and I can't place it, but it has to be somewhat close to Millie.
Yeah, I was going to watch a clip, but then I forgot.
She has a slightly gravelly voice for a girl, I think. Doesn't she? Oh, wait, no, Gretchen is not Spinelli. I'm sorry, I have no idea what her voice sounds like. I kept thinking of Spinelli.
It's all good.
All right, so that kind of wraps us up for episode 102, and we'll be back next week with episodes 7 and 8, which are titles that I cannot remember off the top of my head, but I'm sure that they'll be great. So until next time, I'm Brittany.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See you later.